welcome to TwerpCast.
Hello? Can you tell me when Pirates of the Caribbean are playing? Oh, sorry.
Sorry, wrong room.
Wrong room, wrong room.
Red rum. Red rum.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I first introduce my cohort in crime, Doug Zeitlin, executive producer of Foul Smells.
And allow me to introduce my longtime friend and executive co-producer in charge of antifungal cream and hair restoration products, not to be confused with the other Jim Caswell, best known as the original Captain Jack Sparrow.
Better to be known as the original Captain Jack Sparrow than the original Captain Jack Harkness. Douglas, why don't you introduce the concept of our show?
Timewell Electronic Radio Productions presents the TwerpCast, a media review podcast and discussion group. Our primary mission is to illuminate genre media in a highbrow and educated format that is appropriate for all ages. Any semblance to entertainment and or amusement is purely unintentional, and frankly, it's a miracle.
Hallelujah!
At Twerp Online Presentations, our goal is your enlightenment.
Yeah. And what is today's subject going to be?
This is what we would like to be known as our pilot episode, and since Wash is one of my favorite pilots, we're going to be dealing with Joss Whedon today. It's the Joss Cast.
Creator of such shows as Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Angel, Firefly, as well as, well, that basically covers most of the stuff that he's actually able to take credit for.
But there's actually a lot of stuff out there which I think people may be a little less familiar with that he's credited for in some cases and in other cases gratefully uncredited for.
I have the list in front of me. Some of this stuff you couldn't pay me to put my name on.
Well, he does get credit for Roseanne. Would you want your name on that?
No. Not me personally, but hey, you know, somebody's got to do it. At least that's what Tom Arnold said.
Let's not go there. And that's what he's thinking now.
God, why did I go there? The money, Tom. It was the money. He also took part in working on such films as Toy Story, Alien Resurrection, Titan A.E., although most of his stuff on Alien Resurrection and Titan was cut.
Although Titan A.E. bombed at the box office, it's actually one of my more favorite animated movies.
Everybody's entitled to their opinion. No, I'm joking with you. It was a very interesting story, and not necessarily in the Chinese curse sort of way.
Yes, that would be more like the smell you emanate.
Ooh, now we're getting personal. Okay.
Oh, wait, I'm the executive producer in charge of smell. What about some of his uncredited work? There was Speed, Waterworld, Twister, and the original X-Men movie.
This is true, and two of those I wouldn't mind putting my name on. But in all honesty, Speed was a pretty good movie. It was a top box office grosser, and a lot of his dialogue did get kept, especially the interactions between the two lead characters.
See, now gross is a word that I would use to discuss the movie Speed. I love Sandra Bullock, I love Keanu Reeves, in a purely manly way.
You got a man crush, you got a man crush.
Shut up, Ted. In all seriousness, it was a pretty cut-and-dry formula movie. Not really much to it. I'd kind of be embarrassed to get my name attached to it. I mean, it's good for him that he got his name out there attached to a high-grossing movie, but it's not really the greatest work of art.
And speaking of gross, do we really want to talk about Waterworld?
Waterworld would have been an absolutely marvelous movie if its budget had been $3 million. You know, it was, at the time, the most expensive movie ever made, and outside of the salary, I couldn't tell where the money was spent.
And he was seriously overpaid.
Well, considering what I think of Kevin Costner's lack of acting skills, yeah, I would agree with that.
As much as I enjoyed Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, yeah, I have to pretty much agree that, well, I don't know if the man could act his way out of a paper sack.
Yeah, he robbed me of $7.50 at the movie theater for that one.
Twister was okay. I think you enjoyed that more than I did.
I think I'd give that 2.5 pens in the pocket protector.
Whereas I was thinking more like 1.5, 2, so. But then, everybody loves X-Men.
Well, I don't know if I would go that far, but absolutely. X-Men, obviously, incredibly popular movie, huge box office success, and even for a non-Marvel zombie like myself, it's in the DVD collection.
Let's put it this way, it helped put Marvel on the movie map. But we'll talk about more stuff like that probably in our next TwerpCast. Back to Joss. In 1992, Joss Whedon wrote a movie and called it Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And a lot of people, including the studios, went, what? Because it was such a foreign concept, And the studios, in their infinite wisdom, decided to turn it into a comedy. Now, I actually saw the Buffy movie, and I enjoyed it for what it was. Little did we know that a few years later, Joss was going to take another stab at it and decide that he wanted to make it the way he had envisioned it for the smaller screen.
Well, when I look at the movie, I remember what my first thought was. It's got Jason Priestley and Paul Reubens in it. It is a joke.
So he launches this new series on the newly formed WB, and it was a mid-season replacement, and they had it for 13 episodes. And a lot of people were like, yeah, it's even going to last 13 episodes. Right.
Well, just like my thought from the Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie, I went, this is a joke. And when I read the TV guide, it made me laugh, which is the only reason I watched that first episode. I guess in a small way, you could actually thank TV guide for my interest in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Of course, that was old TV guide, not new TV guide.
We could do an entire podcast on TV Guide.
Yeah, the wonderful history of TV Guide and what they turned it into.
If you agree with the executive producer opinion of TV Guide, we suggest you write them hate mail in their email at tvguide.com.
Don't forget to include the words, you suck. Anyway, your main reaction was that this thing was going to be so bad that you wanted to see the first episode because you figured that's all there was going to be of it.
That's exactly what I thought. There was no way that I would believe that would go past a first episode.
Whereas I thought, and yes, I thought it was going to be a joke, but I was kind of into the whole vampire thing at the time. It was a phase that I was going through, and I was like, this would be fun to watch. And little did we know that, yes, it would be funny. Yes, it would be fun. Yes, it was horror. Yes, it was adventure. Yes, it was teen angst. Yes, it was pretty much everything that was good in television at the time.
It's kind of interesting that for a show that was about teenage vampire slayer and evil undead creatures running around the world, that it touched on real-world topics. It had issues that teenagers dealt with, issues that adults were still dealing with, issues that we all remember from our high school experience. And somehow it managed to be funny and poignant and amazing.
I completely agree. He was able to capture the spirit of high school without talking down to teenagers.
I think that's really the key to making a successful teen angst show. I look at something like 90210, and it's a soap opera.
So Buffy became a hit. I think the only people that were more shocked than the networks were the fans, that it actually lasted as long as it did, because you know anything that's good on television, they do their best to kill off.
That, again, is something that shocked me. I could not believe that the show about a teenage cheerleader and creatures of the undead would get renewed for a second season.
Not only did it get renewed for a second season, but a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, and then there was that seventh season. It was better than about 90% of what was on TV at the time, so...
I think you bring up a good topic of contention. A lot of people consider season four, with Adam and the Initiative, to be the weakest season. I actually, of the first four seasons, enjoyed it the most.
I don't know if I necessarily enjoyed it the most, but it was very enjoyable. I remember in season six being very impressed, though, as well. Especially with the whole concept of, okay, we've faced off pretty much against everything that could possibly be out there. Now we're going to bring it a little bit closer to home. So, a lot of times I consider season six to be one of the best.
Season six had absolutely fantastic writing on it. My real problem with that is I knew, like, two episodes in that Willow was the bad guy. Predictable is not a word I would use for any of Joss's writings. That show had me constantly wondering who was going to live and who was going to die. Even Buffy herself, who, alright, she died twice, but I mean a character actually being physically written off the show.
And speaking of the dead, or in this case, undead, not only was Buffy successful for 7 years... but it also spawned a spinoff known as Angel.
Angel? Angel the Dark Knight? Dark Angel? Oh, that was the other show. If she were president, she'd be Abraham Lincoln.
Thank you, Wayne.
This Twerpcast is produced in Aurora, Illinois.
And the actual Aurora, Illinois, not just doing a drive-by shot of the White Castle. Anyway, Angel received a spinoff show where he lived in Los Angeles, and in that first season, he had a lot of Batman-esque traits.
There were a lot of references to Batman in that first season.
There's a reason I liked that first season.
But I think the thing that was most impressive about the split of that character Angel into his own television series, it was not a redo of Buffy. It was not, this is Buffy in another city in California.
This one seemed more like an offspring. It had certain traits that were similar, but it became its own person.
I think that's exactly the crux of the matter. Buffy and Angel are almost as different as, say, Archie Bunker and the Jeffersons. And yes, those were spinoffs.
Or Happy Days and Mork and Mindy.
Or Love American Style and Happy Days.
Ooh, now we really are showing our geekdom, aren't we? So you have Angel and the girl that everybody loved to hate back on Buffy, Cordelia, going to Los Angeles, making a new life for themselves. And this lasted for 5 seasons. And again, it made a mark for itself. It became well-known, very popular, in a market where a show starring a vampire was either not considered at all or was put on CBS at 10:30 at night.
Yes. Now, do you remember Rick Springfield as Nick Knight?
Yes. Yes, I do. Now I really am showing off my geekdom.
We should do an entire podcast on Rick Springfield. He did Human Target and Battlestar Galactica.
For being a rock star, he did a lot of really geeky shows. But, you know, that's one of those things that you can get away with when you're a rock star. You can afford to do the geeky thing every once in a while. And as long as you still have the long flowing hair and can play a guitar, you can get away with it.
You know, I saw Rick Springfield once, just really recently, and this really young, like, 14-year-old girl ran up to him. She's like, "Are you Rick Springfield? Are you Rick Springfield?" And he was like, "Why, yes, I am Rick Springfield." You should have seen the look on his face when she said, "My mom really loves you." I got a little bit of a kick out of it. Just don't ask me what I was doing seeing Rick Springfield.
So, Doug, what were you doing seeing Rick Springfield?
Don't ask that question.
So, we have these two popular shows. Got pretty good ratings, on for 7 seasons, on for 5 seasons. And it wasn't just that it was popular, but it started creating a trend. It wasn't just a case of these shows making it, but other people started to go, hey, people will actually watch fantasy on broadcast television.
I think you're absolutely right. These shows paved the way for what are now incredibly popular shows like Lost and Heroes.
Alias, even though it's not on the air anymore, it was very popular.
But really, Buffy was the godfather of these shows. Well, I guess Joss.
Yeah, Joss was the godfather. I mean, not only did it spawn a lot of strong female characters, like Sydney Bristow in Alias, but it also allowed people to make fantasy shows like Charmed because of the work that Joss did. But as popular as this was, and as much of an impact as it had on TV, the network seemed to just kind of turn against it towards the end. Buffy got changed to a different network, which is now the same network, but we won't go there. Angel got canceled pretty much at a very high point in its production.
And Joss and the crew made a wonderful decision not to end the series, just to end the season. I think that was brilliant. He's saying, you know what? I'm not going to do you guys any favors.
A lot of the fans kind of took that one kind of hard, though. But I don't blame him for that at all. It was a great way of thumbing his nose at the network without thumbing his nose at the network.
But even as a fan, I'm not upset that the show ended on a cliffhanger. There's more story left to tell. Yes, I would love to see the proposed Spike television movie, so the Faith spin-off television series. But as opposed to coming up with a cheap and corny ending to the television show really quickly because it was canceled, he said, you know what, we're just going to do this top-notch. We're going to go out with a bang, not a whimper.
Exactly right. But you mentioned a couple of things, the Faith series, the Spike TV movie, and that's just to name a couple. I have a list here, the animated series, which was going to go back and tell more adventures of them in high school.
I would love to see that. I don't know what ever happened to that. I remember seeing pictures in the magazines, and it just disappeared.
The Ripper British television series that was proposed. A show called Slayer School that was going to take place with Dawn and a bunch of the younger Slayers. And again, the Faith show, the Spike show. All of these things just kind of died. It was like everybody just suddenly lost interest in this universe.
I would disagree with your wording. I don't think that everybody lost interest in it. I would say the powers that be. And no pun intended. You were talking the network. His fans never lost hope at all.
I stand corrected. You are absolutely correct. So what happens when the network says, we've lost interest in this, whether it be because of a change in policy, a change in people in charge, whatever it was, how do the fans get their fix? Fortunately, Joss is a big old geek just like us, and he realizes the value in comics.
Well, actually, he's a big old geek with talent, so there's a little difference.
Well, yeah. I'd like to think that we maybe have a thimbleful.
Yes, a thimbleful in an ocean of talent.
Well, a thimbleful is still a thimbleful.
Well, you know, my wife has always told me, it's not the size of the wave, it's the motion of the ocean.
Yeah, she has to tell you that. She's married to you. Because of the popularity of Buffy and Angel, he got the opportunity to do something that pretty much any comic book geek would just love to get offered to him. He got the opportunity to write comics. He worked on the X-Men, created a spin-off of Buffy called Frey, which was a limited series. And finally, when they realized that Buffy just was not going to go anywhere else on television, he started commissioning out Buffy to be written in comic book form with Dark Horse Comics. They were running Buffy comics while the show was still on. When the networks canceled it, Dark Horse started to lose a little bit of interest, but IDW picked up Angel and started writing post-season 5 stories. And now Dark Horse is printing Buffy season 8.
Before we go there, I think something that you really didn't even touch upon is the fact that Marvel was so happy to have Joss Whedon writing an X-Men comic that they created a brand new title exclusively for him.
And again, who was his lead character of choice? Kitty Pryde, another character that a lot of people saw as this fragile little girl that he ended up turning into a very strong character.
Joss is a self-admitted feminist, and I think that he has done the feminist movement more good than Gloria Steinem ever will.
I would agree with that.
He portrays women as strong, heroic, capable. There's none of this Barbie, math is hard.
You do that too well, you know.
Well, you know, I still play with my Barbies every once in a while.
You mean you play with your daughter's Barbies?
No, I meant twin 20-year-olds that come over to help me bathe. Emily, help me bathe Emily.
Right. Yeah, your wife will never listen to this anyway, so you're safe.
As you said, I have a 4-year-old daughter, and I want her to grow up in a world where she knows that she can do anything that she wants to be. She's not going to be just a part of the secretarial pool. She's not going to be just a school marm. If she wants to be the president, I'll love her anyways.
Just so long as she doesn't pick one of the two major parties. Like you said, though, Joss continues to write very strong female characters. Yes, they have their feminine side, but their entire world doesn't revolve around that. Their world revolves around being who they are meant to be.
I think that's the key, is not just with his female characters, but with all of his characters. These are people doing what real people do. And sometimes they are in outrageous situations. Let's face it. When you're a 16-year-old and you're being chased by a bunch of vampires and zombies and werewolves, you're going to get a little messed up. But it's not about being a little messed up. The show is about how do you conquer your own demons, and not demons from hell. It's about how you conquer
your personal demons.
Yes.
It doesn't negate the fact that, yes, you're a little messed up, but you come back from being a little messed up. You don't just throw up your hands and go, oop, I'm all messed up, now give me something.
She never threw in the towel, didn't matter how hard it got. In this show, twice, she died, and she came back from that. All right. Again, it's fantasy. It's far-fetched. But it's showing you that you can get to the precipice, the edge of your own abilities, and conquer that, and come back stronger.
While we're on the topic of strong female characters, though, I do think that we need to move on to Firefly. Before we get on to River, why don't we back up a half step and talk about what Firefly was.
Firefly was the television series that Gene Roddenberry sold to NBC and never delivered upon. Wagon Train to the Stars. I remember the critics panning this after the pilot episode. They just could not get the concept of cowboys riding horseback and carrying laser guns.
Obviously, they never read Terror Man when they were kids.
Honestly, they were completely missing actual history. These were supposed to be colonists. This was not the cutting-edge Starfleet with the high technology and all of the major weapons. These were supposed to be people who were dropped off on planets. They said, here are your basic necessities to get started. Make your own colony. The food is there, the water is there, trees are there. They were literally starting from scratch.
It was a very, very well thought-out concept. It wasn't cookie cutter. It wasn't conveyor belt. It was original. Heaven help Hollywood if it ever gets an original idea. Of course, that's coming from us, people who are putting together Star Trek shows.
Heaven help us all if Hollywood ever gets an original idea.
But it wasn't just the fact that it got panned. It really did not get good publicity either. In fact, it got next to nothing in the way of publicity.
Well, really, here's a show where Joss writes what effectively is an introduction episode, and the network goes, "We don't get it. Dumb it down and make a new pilot."
And when he did dumb it down, they still didn't get it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much easier you get than the Great Train Robbery. It was not a very hard concept to understand. Develop the characters. Are these good guys? Are these bad guys? Well, there's something in the middle.
We mentioned Robin Hood earlier?
I think it's a very good example. They were robbing from the rich, and, well, they started giving to the rich, but when they realized what they had done, they gave it back to the poor.
And sometimes they considered themselves poor as well.
They were definitely anti-heroes, that's for certain.
But not in the Punisher sort of way. They were good anti-heroes.
You know, it's interesting that the character of Malcolm Reynolds would consider himself out for the public good. However, the government is not necessarily what he means by the public good. He means the people.
So you've got a high-concept show with strong female characters. Once again, you had
River, you got Zoe, you've got Inara.
And let's not forget about Callie.
Oh, Callie.
She was definitely the Marianne of the show.
But the thing is, every single one of these characters was strong and smart.
Independent.
Even Zoe, the married one.
Yeah, Zoe wore the pants in that family. But again, you've got these strong female characters, good show, strong concept. People were completely clueless about it. Pretty much describes a good portion of Joss's career.
It's kind of funny, though. The people who really don't get it are the executives. The people who are paid to get it. The fans got it immediately. They only showed 2/3 of the episodes on the television. Fans had an incredibly strong reaction to it. They loved the show.
Again, you have a strong fan following. Just like Buffy did, just like Angel did. The guy creates shows that fans can identify with.
And this is a show who generated fan following that was so strong, when the DVD box set of the series came out, it broke all sales records.
Shot right through the roof.
So here's another one of those miracle shows which is canceled, it's off the air, and then it's more popular than ever, so a movie studio notices it.
Does that sound vaguely familiar? Star Trek!
I am Captain.
You mentioned movie studios. Firefly goes down, Serenity surfaces.
Serenity is just one of those movies which honestly was put together perfect. It had a brilliant cast, absolutely fabulous writing, the special effects were top-notch, and so it did mediocre.
Fortunately, the fans turned out in droves. Unfortunately,
they were the only ones!
Maybe there's a reason Hollywood doesn't come up with any original ideas.
If they can't get people to go to original movies, why bother? On that subject, I love the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. I have been to see all three of them. I own the two that are available. Not real high-concept movies.
Back to Serenity. He did another one of those things that Joss is well known for. Nobody was safe. We don't want to give away any spoilers, just in case you haven't seen the movie.
And if you haven't, I'd like to know which planet you've been on for the past several years.
Yeah, we pretty much figure that anybody who would tune in to listen to a Joss cast would probably have seen the movie by now. But just in case.
Speaking of which, special edition soon to be on DVD. Buy it, buy a lot of copies, and share it with your friends.
Yes, we would like to see a Serenity 2, but not like Highlander 2.
Oh, there can be only one.
There should have only been one. On that note.
And now for something completely different.
Veronica Mars? Well, wait a second.
Veronica Mars. Now, that's that really long crater on the surface of Mars, right?
No. Actually, all things considered, it kind of fit in well with Joss Whedon's body of work.
Speaking of Joss's body of work, I believe he's an incredible fan of Veronica Mars?
Yeah, he was a humongous fan of it, which actually makes sense, because, again, you have a strong female lead character, only this time instead of going around and slaying vampires, she's going around and solving mysteries. So, strong female lead character, it makes sense that Joss would be drawn to this type of character. And it was actually one of the few times where he stepped out from behind the camera and stepped in front of the camera to actually make a guest appearance. He also directed an episode of The Office, of all things. That one seemed kind of odd to me, but then again, I don't usually watch sitcoms all that much.
Yeah, there's an originality thing going with sitcoms.
Or lack thereof?
Yes. Let's see. Wasn't there an office in England? As we're talking about originality and rehashing old ideas, let's talk about making them new again. Joss was hired originally to make Wonder Woman into a movie.
That was a stroke of genius on Silver's part.
I think there's probably one thing wrong with that idea. Joss really likes strong, intelligent, independent women. Boy, would that sell as a movie?
In today's Hollywood, no. For as liberal as Hollywood tries to make itself out to be, they really like to make sure that they keep their women in their place.
Help me, Obi-Wan. You're my only hope.
Keep in mind, the concept of making a Wonder Woman film has been around since Tim Burton did the first Batman movie. And I do know at one point Sandra Bullock was up for consideration as Wonder Woman.
And for those who would like to know what that would be like, you could rent The Bionic Showdown, where Sandra Bullock was the new Bionic Woman.
You're showing off your geekdom again, Doug.
Yes, useless trivia.
But Wonder Woman, Joss Whedon, taking a strong female character, seemed right up his alley. He put together a screenplay, submitted it, and they separated because of, quote-unquote, creative differences.
Yes, Joss wanted to create a strong, independent, intelligent woman, and Hollywood prefers, help me, Obi-Wan!
So, Wonder Woman bombs out, and I don't know who they're going to get to replace Joss, but I have fears.
Well, you know, when you have the best, take the rest.
Something like that. So, with Wonder Woman no longer on his plate, he has chosen to go with a movie called Goners as his next project. According to Variety magazine, Goners is supposed to be a fantasy thriller that tells the story of a young woman's journey as she gets involved with a great deal of horror and some heroics. Is it just me, or does this sound vaguely familiar?
Well, again, Hollywood is not known for its originality. Boy, I seem to be repeating myself. Excuse me, let me backpedal for a second. I think it's just the way the concept is written. Yes, it's a strong female fantasy heroic adventure, and okay, I understand how that will seem a little bit redundant. This being said, if anybody can turn something into a new material, somebody who could take something old and make it their own, it's going to be Joss.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those weird situations that, just by the brief descriptions that we've read about this movie, it could potentially be Joss remaking Joss. Yes, he'll probably have a brand new creative spin on it. There's a humongous difference between Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Firefly, in spite of the fact that they both have strong female characters in fantastic environments. I don't know about the listener, but for myself, it doesn't really matter what the critics say about it or what the advertising says about it. I'll still give Goners a shot, just because it has Joss Whedon's name on it.
I think that's a good point. Will we go because it's going to be a cult of personality, or will we go because we think it's going to be good?
Personally, I think it'll be good, but that's because I have a lot of faith in Whedon's work. Which is odd, because as much faith as I have in his work, I read a lot about the stuff that he believes in, and while I don't agree with his politics, I agree with what he believes in.
I think that Joss is tired of people saying, do as I say and not as I act. So his politics and his religious beliefs may seem to conflict with yours. His actions do not.
He's very vocal about what he believes and what he doesn't believe in. In a lot of ways, it should look on the surface like he and I would not agree on anything. But, like you said, it's his actions, even more so than his words, that make you go, he's got some good points. I don't have to agree with everything that he believes in to agree with what he stands for.
It makes sense, but it's counterintuitive.
Recently, on his website, he actually posted a blog-like entry.
Joss talks about the abuse of women and how this is culturally acceptable in certain nations.
And, at least as far as films are concerned, even in the United States, look at a good portion of your horror films. Who are usually the victims?
Dumb blondes.
In a lot of ways, that's why he wrote Buffy in the first place, because he wanted to take certain stereotypes and turn them upside down on their ear. No longer was it going to be this helpless blonde who is the first to be the victim. She's the one who stands up and fights the wrong.
I think that's a good point to leave it on. This is Doug. executive producer of Twerp Online Productions. I'd like to thank you for participating in our pilot episode, the Josscast, and throw this over to my co-producer, James.
Before we part with you today, we just wanted to let you know a few things that we have coming up in the very near future. Our flagship show, Star Trek Eras, is going to be releasing Act 2 of our second episode in mid-June, hopefully before June 16th, and Act 3 by July 12th.
And yes, it's a little bit hypocritical for me to talk about originality in Hollywood when Twerps is actually using a concept which is not our own. However, listen to it. We're making it our own, and it's a lot better than the official Star Trek that's been on in the last few years.
Likewise, I wanted to let those of you who may be attending shore leave in mid-July that I'm planning on attending, so if you're going to be there and you see a guy walking around with a name tag of Admiral Avery, that's me, come and say hi and ask me for one of our giveaway gifts. Twerps is also working on some additional programming. Our friend Ken Halloran is taking over as producer of a new superhero series called I'm Juan 4. We'll be letting you know more information about that in the near future. Plus, we have several other projects that we'd like to work on, but we need people to help us out with. Some of those potential new projects will be dabbling in both of Joss's worlds, including a potential Slayers series that we're looking at, as well as an audio series based in the Serenity universe. That one's going to be Doug's pet project. Lastly, if you're interested in joining Twerps on any of our upcoming projects, please feel free to email us at eras@twerponline.net for details. We are hoping to open things up to have some voice tryouts, as well as taking on some new editors. So if you're interested in any of that, drop us an email and let us know that you're interested.
Please feel free to give us your feedback, send us some email, or maybe an audio MP3 file. We'd be happy to post your most creative work along with our upcoming podcasts.
So again, on behalf of myself and Doug, we'd like to say thank you for joining us.
Thanks!
And tune in again very soon when we try this all over again. This has been a production of Timewell Electronic Recording Productions, copyright 2007. Have a great day.
Arrgh!